Well, welcome to Fundamental Baptist Fellowship today. It's the 23rd of April today, 2023, and part 27 I'm up to in the series on the Book of Revelation. We're going through that in our studies. Part 27 in the series of the Book of Revelation today, and it's part two in the Invisible War. Actually, you know what I'll do? I'll just go through because that's last week's message. We won't do any video replay on that. We'll just continue on, folks. Welcome along to Fundamental Baptist Fellowship. It's the 30th of April, 2023. My apologies for the dates and things. When you've got all your sermons in the one book here, you've got to be careful. Part 28, a series on the Book of Revelation, part 28. And the title of the message is The Coming World Ruler. The Coming World Ruler. And we're looking at Revelation 13 and verses 1 to 10. And let us pause for a moment of prayer together before the message today. Revelation chapter 13 in the Bible, verses 1 to 10. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the truth of prophecy. The Lord Jesus Christ came the first time, prophesied for a long, long time to come to this earth. And he came the first time, born as a babe in a manger, lived a sinless, perfect life. And Lord, was offered up on the cruel cross of Calvary for us, took our place, the place that we earned, the death that we deserved. Lord, we deserve those wages, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And because Jesus died and rose again, any who trust in him, believe in him in their heart, turn away from sin, trust him, Lord. Trust you only can be born again, born anew, and have an eternal hope in heaven. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Father, that in prophecy, you're coming again. You promised the first time when you came. You promised to come again. And we read about the end times and what life will be like. And Father, none of us in the God's church who are born again ever have to go through this. But many will. We would pray, Father, that you would speak to our hearts. Help us to wake up and remind us, Lord, of these things in the future and what God has to teach for us today as we wait upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. A Prime Minister of Belgium in the 1930s and 1940s reportedly made the following statement. The truth, this is in the 1930s and 1940s. The truth is that the method of international committees has failed to solve the world problems. What we need is a person, someone of the highest order or great experience, of great authority, of wide influence, of great energy. Let him come, and let him come quickly. Either a civilian or a military man, no matter what his nationality, who will cut all the red tape, shove out all the committees, wake up all the people, and galvanise all governments into action. That was said by the Prime Minister of Belgium, Paul-Henri Spaak, in the 1930s and 1940s, when the Antichrist ascends the global stage, the world will be waiting to receive him in precisely the same way. And I'd like to say that the world is looking for a leader today. They got leaders in every political sphere, in every sphere of life, but the world is looking for someone that champions the world out of the mess, economically, socially, emotionally, religiously, that the world has found itself in. The papers make that clear. They're just looking for a way all the time. They're getting together committees. See, many attempts have been made to identify a person who would be a ruler like this in the last 2,000 years. Some have suggested Nero, a Roman Pope, Hitler, Mussolini, presidents of numerous countries of the world, dictators with all sorts of powers have murdered millions. Many people have thought that those people would be this anti-Christ, this leader, this person who would lead them somehow. And in the chaotic times of confusion, uncertainty and unrest that will prevail during this period of time we read about here, it's called the tribulation in the Bible, the world will long for a leader. People will be desperate, hoping for someone powerful and influential to unite the divided and contentious nations of the world together. Someone to bring hope in the midst of a hopelessness. Someone to provide a sense of security for the world. In an unsettled time, a time of apprehension and fear, has there not been a time like this? People will be looking for a strong, charismatic, authoritative leader to pull the world back from the brink of disaster. So who exactly is this leader going to be? Well, our passage here talks about that's John the Apostle, that the Apostle John was writing or seeing this vision, and he said, I saw a beast rising out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy. Look, that person there in the Bible, when you look at other references, is the man of perdition. He's the lawless one. He's described in the Bible in various names. I'll explain in a moment. But the Bible describes a leader that'll come in the end times. Okay? This is prophetical in the book of Revelation. So who exactly is this person called the Antichrist? He's given a name in the book of Revelation of the Antichrist. There are over 100 passages, in the whole Bible that describe this person. But only once is the word Antichrist used to refer to the individual that we're talking about apart from Revelation 13. There's 100 other references describing this person, but his name is used. And I just want you to turn over, just go back a chapter, I think it is, to 1 John and chapter 2. 1 John and chapter 2 and verse 18. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. Little children, it is the last time, as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. See, John contrasts the many Antichrists, plural there. That's the spirit of Antichrist. And there's been lots of people who put up their hand and say, I'm a reincarnation of Christ, or I'm the Antichrist, and have led religious groups and cults to death. And there's a spirit of Antichrist. It's a rebellious spirit that's in the world today. But this is saying, and as you have heard, that Antichrist, that's singular. That's a reference to this person. There's a spirit of Antichrist at work in the world today. But one day, all that spirit will be concentrated in just one man. And the Bible here describes this. The prefix anti means against or instead of. He will oppose Christ and at the same time replace Christ. There are more than 25 titles given to the Antichrist. that I can think of. There's over 100 altogether, but referring to him, there's 25 particular and three individually ones here. Revelation chapter 6, verse 2, the rider on the white horse is the Antichrist. Revelation 11, 7, he's called the beast. Revelation 13, 1, the beast who rises out of the sea. Some think he is Satan incarnate. What we do know is he will be possessed of Satan himself. In fact, the Bible says that he ascends out of the bottomless pit. Just go back to Revelation and look at Revelation 17, 8 there. I'm just trying to... The character of the person. Revelation chapter 17. I'll try not to swap around too much today, although there is some verses, but we're just in close proximity, hopefully. Revelation 17, verse 8. Revelation 17, verse 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is. That's talking about a person. But he's definitely going to be energized, the Bible says. He'll get his power from Satan to live, to rule. He'll be empowered by the devil to do this. This particular person. The Antichrist is called the little horn in the Bible, the king of fierce countenance, one who understands dark sentences, the prince who shall come, the man of sin, the son of perdition, that wicked one be revealed, and is called the beast. By the way, Satan is never called in Scripture the beast. The beast is not Satan. The beast is a human being, but he's empowered by Satan. The Antichrist is the ultimate counterfeit of Christ. Jesus is called the Son of God. The Antichrist calls himself the son of perdition. Christ is called the Holy One. The Antichrist is called the Wicked One or the Lawless One. Christ came down from heaven. Antichrist came up from the bottomless pit. Christ was energized by the Holy Spirit. Antichrist is energized by Satan. Just turn to Revelation 13 again. And look at Revelation 13, verse 4, about the energizing. Revelation 13, 4, our text. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. You see that? He was energized. He got his power. It's important to look at these verses. That's where he gets it from. Christ does the Father's will. Antichrist does his own will. Christ cleansed the temple. The Antichrist defiles the temple, sits on in place of God in it. Christ is a man of sorrows. The Antichrist is a man of sin. Christ humbled himself. Antichrist exalts himself. Christ is called the Lamb. Antichrist is called the beast. Christ is received up into heaven. Antichrist was sent to the lake of fire. That will be his place of eternally. Now, in reference to Revelation 13, I want you to see, we haven't read it all, but what was read today, Revelation 13, 1 to 10, is about two beasts that are mentioned in Revelation chapter 13 altogether. Revelation 1 to 10 is talking about the beast from the sea. That's the Antichrist. And Revelation 13, 11 says, and I beheld another beast coming out of the earth. You see that? One's out of the sea in verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. And in verse 11, a beast coming up out of the earth. The one that comes out of the sea is the Antichrist. The one that comes out of the earth is the false prophet. He's the Antichrist 2IC. That's who he is. Second in charge. The false prophet. But today's message is about the one that rises up out of the sea. That's the Antichrist. The beast is a man, not a wild creature. He's a man, as I said, energized by Satan. The term sea, rising up out of the sea, is symbolism. And in the Bible, that's symbolic of the huge sea of Gentile nations. That's why that's a reference to a human being. He comes out of Gentile nations. Book of Daniel says he's the people of the prince that shall come. That narrows it down to the Roman Empire, where Titus, when he destroyed Jerusalem, the people of the prince, the prince out of the Roman Empire. That tells me that the Antichrist is going to be a Gentile, not a Jew. It's out of one of these Gentile powers that the Antichrist will rise up. Now listen, I cross-reference a few times to Revelation 17. It's a cross-reference to the chapter. Revelation 17 again. Look at this reference here in verse 15. Revelation 17 and verse 15. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the war sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Okay? So it's talking about waters, an ocean, a sea, something like that. And they refer to peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues, languages. So we know that that reference there, we'll go into more detail with chapter 17 when we get to it, is a reference to the Antichrist and to coming out of the Gentile nations. And notice in verse 1 there, he has 7 heads, 10 horns and 10 crowns on them. Wow. Not a nice looking creature, I suppose. Now, to understand the Bible, you've got to remember this principle. The Bible is its own interpreter. What it says about something one place, it'll reinforce it if it's truth elsewhere. That's how you know. So, this Antichrist, the beast, has 7 heads. Refers to 2 things. Refers to, in chapter 17, verse 9, just turn over there. Keep your finger in chapter 17, because chapter 17 helps interpret chapter 13 and vice versa. Chapter 17 of Revelation, verse 9. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The 7 heads are what? 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are 7 kings, 5 are fallen, 1 is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the 8th and is of the 7, and he goeth into perdition. And then it talks about the 10 kings afterwards. Verse 12, and 10 kings which thou sawest, the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom yet, but received power as kings 1 hour and with the beast. Now, when you put that mixture of words together, okay, we know from history that the city of Rome, one of its names is the City of 7 Hills. There are not just 7 hills in Rome, but it's built on at least 7. Okay? So it's built on seven mountains. So taking that reference, I would say that that's a reference to the city of Rome. Okay? The city, it's a city. The heads are a city, collectively. Okay? Now, the woman here is the... when we looked at Revelation 17 and 18 before, the woman here is the harlot of Babylon, the Great War. That's what we were talking about. And this... the world will have a religious system, and the centre of that system will be Rome. So, you've got this city, okay, that the heads represent collectively. But there's another thing about it. The seven heads are also not only a city, but the Bible says in Revelation 17, 10 and 11, they are seven kings. Is that right? Seven kings. Five are fallen, one is not, and it goes into a list, and you might count them, the seven and the eighth. Okay? Now keep the numbers seven and eight together here, because what I can understand is that the text identifies the mountains or the heads as seven kings. Mountains are symbolic to, in the Old Testament, to represent empires as well. And five world Gentile empires have fallen and died by the time John was writing this. It says, and here is the, and there are seven kings, five are fallen and one is. The five that are fallen are referring to fallen empires that no longer existed when John was writing. Who would they be? The old nations of the old empires that used to rule. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia and Greece. Remember those from the book of Daniel? There's five of those, but they've all been succeeded by another nation at the time. What was the nation that was ruling the world when John wrote this? Rome. The Roman Empire. So the five that are fallen are the five I've just listed, and the one is Rome. That's six. The seventh empire is the one that hasn't come yet. And it says, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. That's the Antichrist kingdom, that he was set up as a one world ruler. That's what that means. It's a future Antichrist kingdom. That makes seven. The seven kings, seven empires. So you've got this Antichrist who has seven heads, 10 horns. And the 10 horns now that he has, the Bible says, refer to where does it say? Revelation 17, 12. And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings. So if the seven heads are representative of seven empires, who are the 10 horns? The 10 horns are 10 kings. Who are the 10 kings? Okay? When Jesus Christ... When the Antichrist comes to power, he's going to rule. And he's going to be a ruler in one of the 10 kingdoms that are there with 10 rulers. He's been one of 10 rulers. And that one ruler, the Antichrist, is going to envelop and take over all of them progressively until he controls the whole world. Right? He rules the 10 nations and then the whole world. That's who that refers to. So that they're not the same as the heads. the heads of the actual whole empires, with rule headed up by a city, Rome, a Roman Empire that heads it up. Okay? That's why I referred to the city. It's a Roman Empire that heads up the control of the world nations. But those 10 individual nations or areas or regions or countries of the world will each have a ruler, and the Antichrist would be one of those 10 kings, and he'll take over the rest, you see. And he'll use his 2IC, the beast, to do this. And we'll talk more about this woman, the harlot that rides the beast, okay? Because the beast is the Antichrist, and the harlot is heading up the Roman Catholic ecumenical church of the world at the time. So there's a lot in this, okay? I'm just trying to work out a pattern here so we can see, list some basics. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear. His mouth is the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And so this is a reference to what was described in the book of Daniel as well. We saw a symbolism with a nation that was symbolised as with a mouth as a lion. We know that was, of course, Babylon. And then his feet like the feet of a bear, well, that's Medo-Persia. And like a leopard, well, that was Greece. Now, we know that because we've studied that in the book of Daniel. So this beast will have all the power of those other previous nations combined. Okay? All the power of Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and also Rome, and he'll combine them together to form the power of his mighty one-world empire. So this is how it works. That's what that verse 2 is about. Now I saw one of the heads which was wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Well, many commentators say that the wounded head there could have been an old imperial Roman Empire, but I don't believe it's symbolic there, I believe it's literal. And the reason for that is that the context shows you afterwards, particularly, that it's talking about a human being who blasphemes, who worships, okay? So it's talking about a person here. So this person, this Antichrist, he actually gets killed, possibly assassinated or something like that, I'm not sure what. He's killed with a sword, because it tells us that in another reference. And he's an individual. And in a way, he's mortally wounded by a sword and appears to die. And he could well have died. At least we know it's a person, a human being. And this leader, this world leader, is assassinated. Satan is the great counterfeiter. Maybe he's able to fake a resurrection. I don't know, because he's wounded and his deadly wound was healed. That means he came back to life. Regardless of how it appeared, God sovereignly might have allowed it all to happen, and I believe he can do that. He can sovereignly allow Satan to have that power to do that to fool the world, to dupe the world. But not God's elect, not God's people, not believers. Regardless of how it happened, the whole world will wander after the beast, astounded by it. The beast will be worshipped in verse 4. But they that worshipped the dragon and gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, "Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" Wow! And he has a mouth there, a mouth on him. Given on a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. Oh, my goodness, this person. The Antichrist has a total disregard for God. You only have to talk to people in the street today. When I'm talking to some people today, people have absolutely no regard for God, the concept of God. You talk to them and say, "Well, I'm an atheist, I don't believe in God." And I think, well, just think about that for a moment. How do you think those buildings in the street here in Benalla got there? Because there's some kind of builder who built them. And the watch you're wearing, what happened to that? Well, a watchmaker made the watch. So why couldn't you look up in the heavens saying, a creator made the heavens? You know? It's believing in an almighty creator. And this Antichrist, this wants to replace God. He puts himself up in the temple saying, I'm God. And you know, people's hearts, folks, look over in chapter 16 and verse 9, just Revelation. Look at verse 9 of chapter 16. Revelation 16:9, and men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. So hard will people's hearts be that they won't acknowledge that it's happening because it's the judgment, the righteous judgment of God, and I can repent and turn away and God will have mercy on me. And they'll say, no, I don't want mercy. I just want a desire. I just want more of the same blasphemy that I've been hearing all this time. I want that man, not Christ. I don't want Jesus as my Saviour. I don't want him as my Lord. I just want me. I want to put me on the throne. I want to run my own life. And that's what the Antichrist is as a person. And the people who follow him during that time particularly are there. And they're doing it today. Oh, he'll be so persuasive. You know, when a charismatic leader comes along and people are mesmerised by it. He'll be the greatest orator the world has ever seen. He'll make Hitler look like an amateur. He'll command respect. When he enters a room, he'll capture people's attention. He'll be of great intellect. He'll be a man who will subdue other rivals by clever political manipulation. You see that happening today, don't you? And claim power. The leader will begin as one of many leaders and will gradually grasp more and more power. First by deceit and then by force. Once he's in power, you'll have to do what he says or die. He will notice in verse 7. Of Daniel 13, Revelation 13, verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and overcome them. Now that's the blood-bought believers. That's who he turns his attention on. But genuine faith won't be able to be destroyed. God will never allow a true child of God to suffer the loss of eternal life. You're eternally secure. Look at verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Those whose names are what? Not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Do you know what that book is? That dwell upon the earth. They're unbelievers here. What is the book of life that they're talking about here? Those who are names are not written in this book. Do you know you can know that your name is there? That's a book of eternal life. That's a book that has in the end only those who believe in Jesus Christ as personal Saviour and have turned to him. Their names are written down. We sing about it. Seven times in the New Testament, the Bible talks about this book. The book of life belongs to the Lamb of God. And it's a registry, folks, in which God has listed the names of every human being written before the creation of the world. Every human being that was ever to be born, their name was originally written down in a register. And according to the book of Exodus 32, God will blot out those who sin and don't repent of it. He'll blot them out. He warns and promises not to blot out those who believe in Revelation 3:5. Just turn back to there, Revelation 3:5. It says, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out, I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. But he will blot out those who don't believe in him." When any person dies in unbelief, rejecting Christ, this is what happens. Their name is blotted out. It's in there, and God takes it out when a person dies, and if they die personally rejecting Jesus Christ as Saviour, God takes their name out of that book. Only those who are truly saved have their names remaining in the book of life. That's why the Bible says, "Chosen in him before the foundation of the world." We're chosen or elected according to God's foreknowledge in eternity past. He knew who would trust him. You know, there's a great hope for God's people in this passage here. It sounds a lot of, there is a lot of doom and gloom in some areas, but you know, it's a hope. It's a glorious hope. Because Christians will not be deceived by this Antichrist. Arthur said, "Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ," in Romans 8:35 today. Every child of God has eternal life and they can be sure of it. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them," what? "Eternal life, and they shall never perish." You'll never perish if you trust Christ as your Saviour. You'll never have this condemnation on you. You're not condemned. But if you don't trust him, you're condemned already, for you have not believed in the only begotten Son of God. Satan, the Antichrist, and all the forces of hell cannot alter the eternal security of a blood-bought child of God. Amen? The Antichrist may take believers' lives, but their faith cannot be destroyed. I love to sing. And God's saints love to sing. And there's a beautiful song being sung by saints in Revelation 15. Just have a read of that. Revelation 15, verses 2 to 4. It's a beautiful song being sung by the saints. You know who the saints are here? They're believers who've been martyred for their faith in the tribulation, and they're singing in heaven. Revelation 15:2, "And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and then they had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, and stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvellous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest." It's a glorious song of victory. You see, the life and the flesh and the devil and a whole lot of things may win some battles, but the saints win the war, folks. And that is hope. And we know, and I know who I believe in, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep me and to keep those things that I have committed unto him against that day. And I remember the day, I'll never forget the day when I was 10 years old and I heard a Sunday school teacher talk about Jesus Christ, and I was cut to the nerve in my body. And I knew I'd sinned. And I was led to Jesus Christ. And I'm saved. And I'm going to heaven one day. And we all are, aren't we? That trust Christ. Christ. I never forget. I forget the date. It's like someone told me once with a wedding ring. This pastor has a wedding ring and he wears it in his hand. But he'd often forget the date of his wedding for his anniversary and got in trouble from his wife. So he got it off, took it to a jeweler and got the date written on the inside. So he checks and says, oh yeah, that's the date, I won't get in trouble now. You know what I mean? Because, you know, he would often forget the date, but he'd never forget the day. Amen. There is a moment when the Holy Spirit of God indwells a person's life and you're born again, you're born from above. That's God's counsel to us. We can rejoice. We can trust him, not turn away from him in the scriptures. Verse 10, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. And what that's saying is that for those in the kept in the tribulation and for people today, if you're doing the right thing and you're imprisoned, this is what Christians should do. Not retaliate. Why? Because there's no place for a militant, aggressive, violent believer terrorizing persecutors. Here is counsel to God's people. We must suffer like Christ suffered. When he reviled not again. Having a good conscience that whereas they other people, speak evil of us, they may be ashamed and falsely accuse you for your good conversation in Christ. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Those who are reviled against are blessed. Happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. This, it says, is the patience and faith of the saints. We might get worn out with our bodies, but our soul and spirits are renewed day by day. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the encouragement of the Word of God. We thank you, Father, for the Spirit of God. We thank you, Lord, that we have your power and your strength and your presence today, and that's all we need. We don't need the acceptance of the world because we're accepted in the beloved Creator. And we thank you, God, for the reality and the truth of eternal life and for the hope that those who trust in him have eternally. And we praise you, Lord, that we can prepare ourselves now, not for every event that we've read about for its future, but we prepare ourselves for foreshadowings or things that are similar to this that are happening today. And we give you the thanks now in Jesus' name. Amen.